nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes...
This is Jeff Eichner of Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, United States of America. Listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome, everyone, to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM. It is Sunday, August the 1st. We thank you for joining us on our weekly half hour of news and information from the world of radio. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill, and we invite you to communicate with us through various ways. Email radioreport@yahoo.com. You can listen to our show live streaming or archived or over the air at ckut.ca or 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have our Facebook group, which is International Radio Report, have 617 members, and our YouTube channel, if you'd like to go and listen to the show at your leisure. We have the channel at youtube.com/internationalradio, where we have 407 subscribers. You can just go and join, go back and listen to quite a few shows that we have on there on the channel, and also some special shows that were done just for YouTube. So we hope you'll go and check them out. We have quite a bit of information to pass along today, so I guess we should get going immediately. Time goes by so quickly in 30 minutes. Yep. So we'll start with a little bit of news from the CRTC here in Canada, the regulatory body for radio and TV and communications. There have been applications to the CRTC, and this is an ongoing trend of AM stations disappearing and wanting to move to FM. There are two of them requesting a conversion to FM from AM, and also a request for a new FM station in Manitoba. This comes from the Canadian Radio News Facebook group. The CRTC will hold a hearing on September the 9th, 2021, to consider the following applications. The application by the CBC to convert CBT 540 AM in Grand Falls, Windsor, Newfoundland, Labrador to 93.3 FM and to have a power of 100,000 watts. They have received also an application from Maritime Broadcasting System to convert CKNB 950 AM in Campbellton, New Brunswick to 100.7 with a power of 5,330 watts. And a new application from Interlake Mennonite Fellowship Church to establish a new limited hour German and English language religious station in Okno, Manitoba on 107.9 with 340 watts. So that's a brand new application for a low-powered station. But the other two, as we said, a trend that we're seeing way too much of with AM stations, and particularly this one, the CBT, that's a CBC Radio 1 channel. A lot of DXers actually pick up that channel on 540. They don't say anything yet about, you know, how long, if they'll run simulcast, they usually do for a little while. And if, in fact, they do get the approval to make the switch. But that will be another station, two more stations in the Maritimes, which will probably disappear from AM. And that will leave very, very few in Eastern Canada that are still running on AM.
Yeah, a lot of stations, unfortunately, moving out of the AM band. I was doing an AM scan a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, kind of thinking when I was a teenager doing the same scan, so many stations in the daytime, you know, that were in the vicinity, in the small towns around Montreal and a little further away. And now there's almost nothing except the local stations. And, you know, this is a trend. It's, you know, I understand better sound quality on FM. They don't have to have those huge antennas for AM. They can have just, you know, smaller vertical type antennas for FM. But at the same time, like the CBC station, they might lose some listeners because AM, especially at night, there's a much greater distance.
Yeah, they usually, what the CBC does if they make these changes is they put in a bunch of FM repeaters to cover the same territory that they were covering with one transmitter on AM. They have to put in a network of FM relays in order to get the same coverage. One of the other problems, I think, too, is the interference problems. You know, it's not just the station, but it's the listener on the other end. If they've got, you know, a noisy area and they're not able to get a good clear signal on the AM, they're certainly not going to run into that problem if they're on FM. So yep. We'll see what happens. The hearing will take place on the 9th of September, and it takes a little while until they get all the paperwork done and whatever. So we'll see what happens, whether they approve those three applications.
Yep, time to DX the stations in case they disappear. So we had some news from Alan Weiner from WBCQ regarding WHRI. He actually sent out to multiple people and clubs about a little rant that he has. And he says, "Dear devoted radio folks, I write this memo out of total frustration with my government pertaining specifically to the FCC. About 1 year ago, I tendered an application to purchase WHRI International Shortwave in South Carolina to add to the family of WBCQ free speech radio stations. Since then, the FCC has refused to act and grant me my request to purchase the station. Normally, this request would take around 6 weeks to process. Repeated attempts to communicate with the FCC and its personnel have gone unanswered, both by me and my FCC attorney. As a longtime shortwave broadcaster, I do not understand why the big holdup. I am an American citizen and have the right to buy a radio station. My attorney has suggested that this has gone beyond just a processing delay and that the FCC is against me broadcasting religious content on the radio. This is directly against my First Amendment constitutional rights. I am doing all that I can to preserve free speech on the radio airwaves. I am reaching out to you, public conveyors of radio truth, to let the radio enthusiasts know about this and ask for your help in getting the FCC to grant my request to purchase WHRI. Not only for the sake of free speech radio, but to save these great stations from the scrapyard and keep shortwave radio alive for future generations." So he's available for further comments and interviews. He's got a phone number. Thank you all kindly, and be safe and well. So that's from Alan Weiner. You know, I got no problem with Alan Weiner or WBCQ wanting to purchase another station. That's not where the problem is for me. The problem is if it's to put Brother Stair on tons of frequencies. I'm sorry, but I don't know how many people reached out to me on my YouTube channel saying, you know, I bought this shortwave radio and all I hear is religious stations. I got no problem with religious content, but I got a problem when that's the only thing that's on the air. So we don't need that. And if it's for that purpose, you know, I don't care if he gets his license or not for WHRI.
Yeah, I don't know how much influence individuals would have on the FCC anyways, you know, to support or deny the application. But, you know, it's a business transaction. I don't know what the process is with the FCC, you know, at change of ownership. But, you know, whether it takes, he says it takes 6 weeks. To me, that sounds like a short period of time.
Yeah.
But maybe it's different in the States. I know it doesn't happen very quickly here in Canada when something wants to change hands with a broadcasting undertaking. But anyways, we'll see where it goes. You know, he does generate revenue from most of these stations. He does lease out much of the airtime. So, you know, he obviously wants to acquire this one. And, you know, I guess he has clients for it. So he wants to get the process going and get the sale approved and, you know, start generating revenue through the station. So we'll see what happens. Reaching out to everybody the way he did, I'm not sure, you know, what individuals or clubs or things like that are going to be able to do. You know, the government, the FCC will do things the way they have to do them. So I don't know.
I think part of his going out like this also probably has to do with a lot. I think he's frustrated by a lot of things. You know, his superstation is not going well with the tube that actually cracked in half. And the antennas, he's got constant problems there. Maybe this is kind of a little rant that's going out because he's frustrated of so many things at the same time right now.
It's possible. Anyways, I'm sure we'll hear more about this in the weeks ahead, so we'll keep an eye out for that. We move next to a story of the United States from SiriusXM. It comes from thedesk.net by Matthew Keyes, and it was passed along by Mike Terry to World of Radio. SiriusXM touts 34 million satellite radio subscribers. SiriusXM is kind of quiet normally about, you know, the subscriber rates and that sort of thing. But this time they're being very open about it, and they certainly got something to crow about, I think. Satellite radio company SiriusXM Pandora says it now has more than 31 million subscribers willing to pay at least $5 a month for its premium radio offering. Another 3 million customers are counted as promotional subscribers, while more than 9 million customers are streaming or listening to SiriusXM radio as part of a free trial. The numbers help bring SiriusXM Pandora's total number of paying radio subscribers to over 34 million, a year-over-year increase of about 1%. Around 31 million of those customers are paying the company to access radio streams on SiriusXM hardware or through smartphones, smart TV apps. Combined with the success of the company's Pandora subsidiary, SiriusXM Pandora brought in more than $2.16 billion in revenue, a year-over-year increase of 15%. We have long been the leader in shaping the future of audio for listeners, and we continue doing so by providing curated and premium content in innovative formats, Jennifer Witz, the chief executive of SiriusXM Pandora, said in a statement. Witz said the company had a number of new exciting programs, initiatives coming in the near future, including a two-hour radio program hosted by former Fox News and NBC News personality Megyn Kelly, a new documentary podcast produced by actor Seth Rogen, and a collaboration between Pandora and social media platform TikTok that will help power some of its music and talk programming. SiriusXM said it expects to end the year with an additional 1.1 million subscribers compared to last year and total revenue of around $8.55 billion. Earlier this week, it announced a new subscription plan for its radio service that couples two streaming accounts with services on two hardware radios for about $35 a month. And they said people wouldn't pay for radio.
This is the equivalent of cable TV. It's, you know, why do you pay for cable TV? Because you want to have the specialized channels. Why do you pay for SiriusXM? To listen to specialized radio type channels and personalities. And they have absolutely succeeded in that. I remember when this service started thinking, who's going to pay for that? And you know what? Obviously, a lot of people want to pay for that because they pay for superior content.
Yeah, the majority of the channels are commercial free. You've got just about every genre of music you can think of, multiples of each. You've got all kinds of comedy and talk and religious broadcasts, classical programming, you name it, the sports. They really have just about everything. If you can't find something to listen to on Sirius XM, then I don't know what you're looking for, because they seem to just about. And now they've got the online service, like with your normal subscription, which I have one of them. We also get a ton more channels, which are only available streaming. So we can listen to those in the house on the computer, on, you know, whatever other devices you want to use. So they've been very aggressive with their marketing, very successful with their marketing. They've been acquiring new companies, Pandora, one of the recent ones. And at the beginning, as you said, Sirius and XM were two separate companies. Yeah. Sirius, I should say, was kind of fumbling around. They weren't sure what was going on. Everything kind of merged together and took off. So, you know, these numbers, I don't find the numbers totally surprising. I think people have got used to it. You know, it's in your car when you buy a new car in most cases. They give it to you for free for like 3 months. And it's kind of like a cell phone. You know, they were giving you cell phones at the beginning for free. And once you got them, you couldn't live without it. Well, it's kind of that way with the Sirius XM radio.
I think with the partnerships with the car dealers, that was a big winning combination, since a lot of people listen to radio in their cars. And what's nice with satellite radio is, unlike regular radio, you know, when you do a long distance in your car, you'll lose reception of whatever station you are listening to at some point. This, it's constant. It's there. And wherever you are, you're still listening to your program, your favorite programs.
That's it. Exactly.
So what's happening with the sun? Not a lot this week. It's been very quiet. There's been a little bit of solar wind brushing against the magnetic field of the Earth that caused a unsettled condition. And it had to happen the same day that I went to Visitation Island to do my little de-expedition. So conditions were not the best for radio listening, but still not too bad. The sun is blank as we're actually doing the show, which is the first time in many weeks, actually, that we have no sunspots right now. So conditions are rather quiet. There's the solar flux is around 76. K-index is now quiet around 2. And there's no coronal holes right now, so nothing bad or nothing, interesting for the sun as this week is going to start. So hopefully this is going to change. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Your radio is going to get tons of signal as long as you turn it on.
I'm Brian Penny of Brewster, Massachusetts. You're tuned to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We move next to a story. This is quite encouraging. I was surprised when I saw this story. It appeared on Inside Radio. The U.S. House has approved $565 million in funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The U.S. House of Representatives Thursday approved $565 million in advance funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting in fiscal year 2024. That is $90 million more than what President Biden had requested in his outline that would have kept funding even with fiscal 2023. Patrick Butler, president and CEO of America's Public Television Station, said the increase would be the largest for the broadcaster in half a century. We appreciate the House of Representatives' strong support of public media providing this money for the stations in fiscal year 2024, advanced appropriation, ensuring that public media remains free and available to every American throughout the country in rural and urban areas. The approved funding was included in the fiscal year 2022 Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, Education and Related Agencies Appropriations Bill. The legislation still has to pass the Senate. So this has an impact on both television and radio, the public radio stations of NPR and the PBS stations, along with 1,500 locally controlled and operated public television and radio stations across the country. So that's pretty encouraging, because the previous regime in the States was looking at cutting dramatically the funding to public broadcasting.
Unfortunately, public broadcasting is often something that some people don't like. Some people, of course, already don't like the fact that you have to maybe have some government money into, you know, broadcasters and so on. But I mean, it's a needed, it's really a needed service. The public broadcasting is interesting. It's, you know, what it is. Some people might not like its style or what they have to say, but it is definitely a needed service in a country where there's so much polarization of opinions that you need to have as much diversity in broadcasting to find whatever truth is for your liking. But definitely this is a good news because these stations have a lot of difficulty getting their budgets every year and getting the money to. And it costs a lot of money to broadcast on TV and on the radio airwaves, and you have to pay people to have these programs come through and the news and to stay professional. This is definitely good news for the future of public broadcasting.
And I think it's the quality of the programming, too. It's yeah. much different. You know, you're not going to find the kind of programming that you get on public broadcasting on commercial television or commercial radio. It's very different. A lot of people in the States, I know, compare it to yep. our CBC in Canada.
Yeah.
It's a different style. It's very professional and offers a good variety of things that you won't find anywhere else. So very encouraging to see that that big chunk of money being directed towards them.
Yep, I'm a big fan. I listen to WVPS out of Burlington almost every day here. It's, I'm a really big fan of their programs. And the, like you said, the quality, and you hear things on these networks that you won't hear on, you know, regular radio and TV every day. They go and really get some really interesting stories. So there's going to be, or there's a possibility of a shakeup of the CB and even the FRS and GMRS radios. This is via Chris Smolinski, HF Underground. So in May of 2017, Part 95 Personal Radio Services Rules Report and Order, the Commission reorganized and amended Part 95 of its rules governing various short-range, low-power radio services, generally for personal use, including the CB radio service, General Mobile Radio Service, or GMRS, and the Family Radio Service, FRS. Uses for these services include, among other applications, voice and data communications by families and other groups during outdoor recreational activities, like hiking, skiing, hunting, and during emergencies and natural disasters. In this memorandum, opinion, and order on reconsideration, the Commission would grant three petitions for reconsideration of the Part 95 Personal Radio Services Rules Report and Order filed by Cobra Electronics Corporation, Motorola Solutions, and Medtronic. So what it would do, they want to grant Cobra's petition requesting permission for FM as an optional modulation scheme for all existing 40 CB radio channels. Now, this is an interesting one that they're asking for this. I know that in Europe, FM on CB is something that is dominant, but it was not permitted here in North America. I find it interesting that they still want to, you know, kind of dabble in CB radio. A lot of people think that is part of, you know, what's dead in radio. And obviously, you know, when you hear Skip, you notice that there's still a lot of people there. FM, why not? Will it bring new people to the hobby or to CB radio? Who knows? But that would be interesting. So they say dual modulation would improve the user experience since FM provides benefits for some types of communications. Motorola's petition requesting that the commission allow automatic or periodic location and data transmissions on the GMRS and FRS. That is very interesting. So he says the commission's rules currently permit the transmission of location information and brief text messages initiated by a manual action and automatic responses of location information. So this is nice because it would assist if you want to track friends, family, and remote outdoor locations, like hikers, skiers, hunters, and, you know, if they're in trouble, knowing where they are is definitely a good thing. That would probably open also the door to having GMRS, FRS with included GPS in them that would automatically send the exact location. So this is really, really nice. And the fact that they allow for manual and automatic data transmission, so, you know, be able to switch it off is maybe something interesting also. So, you know, and there's a lot of power limits and little rules here that I see that they want to try to get through. It's a change in the radio service. It's a change in those mobile, you know, GMRS, FRS is different in the United States and Canada. There's a licensed service there. Here it's a free service, so it's not exactly the same. Over there, there are repeaters that are allowed. Definitely these changes, especially the ones for GMRS location purposes, is a good thing. I think this the different transmissions, FM radio on CB, why not? FM would be another mode that you could go through.
Yeah, obviously, we'd be looking at a bunch of new equipment coming along if this happens. So I guess, you know, Motorola and Cobra and any of the other companies that are out there that manufacture this stuff will be looking at that. So it's not a done deal yet.
No.
They're still looking at it. We're going to put up links. You can go in and read all the fine print and details. It's quite a lengthy document.
Yeah.
But we just sort of highlighted the main points of it here today. But as Jill said, it's a major change to a section of broadcasting or communications that really hasn't seen any change for quite some time.
Oh, absolutely.
And very surprised to see, particularly the FM on CB
on
band.
CB, yep. So there's some upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, it's a little busier this next weekend than we've had the last couple of weekends, so we'll run through what we have quickly for you. Starting first with the Batavia FT8 contest. It's from 0:00 August 7th to 23:59 August 8th, sponsored by the Indonesian Amateur Radio Organization. It aims to make amateurs around the world contact as many other amateurs and Indonesian contesters as possible. It's on the bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28, and the mode is FT8 only.
There's the 1010 International Summer Contest single sideband from 001 UTC August 7th to 23:59 UTC August 8th, sponsored by the 1010 International, open to all amateurs with operating privileges on the 10-meter band. The band is phone area of the 10-meter band and may be operated using any approved method, SSB, FM, or AM.
We have the European HF Championship, 1200 Zulu to 2359 Zulu on August the 7th. That's organized by the Slovenia Contest Club. The objective is for European amateurs to contact as many other European amateurs and compete for the European HF Champion title. EU to EU contacts count for the contest, considering the CQ worldwide countries list. It is all the amateur bands 1.8 through 28 megahertz, except the work bands, and the modes are both CW and SSB.
There's the ARRL 222 megahertz and up distance contest, 1800 Zulu August 7 to 1800 Zulu August 8, sponsored by the American Amateur Radio League. The objective worked as many station as possible on 222 megahertz through 241 gigahertz bands using any allowable mode. So this is interesting.
Yeah, that's a very odd contest. You've got to be really specific and really work with some interesting antennas and stuff, because line of sight, basically, is what you're looking for there. And finally, the North American CUSO Party, the CW portion, 1800 Zulu August 7th to 0559 Zulu August the 8th, sponsored by the National Contest Journal. The object is to work as many North American stations as possible during the contest period. CW only. The bands are 160 through 10 meters. No work bands.
That sounds great. And we are out of time.
Lots of stuff for you to do with your radio this week, as Jill always says. Oh, yeah. You got to turn it on to hear anything.
Yep.
So go turn it on, or you won't be hearing us unless you do it on the computer, of course. Anyways, we do thank you for joining us. We hope you will do so again next week. We'll be back again next week with the next edition of our show, the International Radio Report, on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Don't.
United Nations. Something like this.